You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're kind of a startup that isn't a startup. So we actually started our business back in 2000 doing anything remote piloted. Our goal was, we grew up flying RC airplanes. That's just our birthright, technically. And we want to do anything remote control. And so from 2000 to 2009, we pioneered fixed-wing airplanes, helicopters, doing aerial photography type stuff. That culminated in 2009 to be the first to ever provide a live HD sports broadcast on TV with an unmanned system. That was our GC-60 remote-piloted airship. So I tell you that backstory to tell you that was Galaxy 1.0. FAA banned all commercial drone operations in 2007 and made it illegal. Like, during that whole time, they were telling us fly under what's called AC-9157. It's a sport hobby rule. Then later on, they modified that rule and said not for commercial use. So that really devastated the commercial industry and us specifically because that killed our business. We were set to do college sports all over the United States. We had done demos for ESPN out at Bristol, Connecticut. And so that was really painful. But where we are now is we spent a decade in Department of Defense stuff, just working for other people, learning the landscape over there, because everything was commercial we were doing. Now we're coming back out, having learned all there is to know about DOD just as a survival tactic. We've relaunched the company in 2014. Once we saw that there was regulation on the horizon, and then started doing our own SBIRs and STTR, Small Business Innovation Research, innovation contract with the government, and won several contracts right out of the gate. And so it's been basically, let's take what we did with remote piloted and start focusing on aerospace integration and advanced aerial mobility, full up autonomy type applications. So this having this FAA 44807 certification that we first got was like, what, however many years in the making, finally we have something to do. And it's not, it's a certification, but it's a, there's a ban on commercial drones. All this is a waiver that says you can now operate, even though it's technically illegal. Now you have a waiver to operate. Getting the technical assist program manager assigned to us for the FAA to go back and do that sports broadcasting thing we did in 2009, it's very nice to have and puts us in a very good position.
Okay, so this gets you more back to like to where you were. Not necessarily, it's more just like now you're trying to make up for lost time.
Yeah, the whole industry has been artificially stymied since 2007 when they modified the rule and started issuing cease and desist letters to everybody in 2009. That's why everything's coming from China. Our brain power has been sucked out because companies finally had to slowly learn that they couldn't operate. So that's why everything's coming from other countries, is because we couldn't operate here. So yeah, this, for one, resets everything and gets us back to where we were a decade and a half ago. But in this era now, we were pioneering when people didn't know what this stuff was. Like, we had to explain what a remote control aircraft is to a big sports broadcasting agency, and they're like, don't even know. But now it's like you don't even have to tell them. They're just like, oh, blimp, remote control, autonomous, awesome, let's go. And so this is, it's a big shot in the arm, I think, for our industry, because we are over 55 pounds. You know, we're 600 pounds flying million-dollar cameras, doing high-end sports broadcasting quality video feeds in real time. So having that capability and having the certifications to be able to do it, it's huge. It wasn't until 2015 that we started to see regulation for under 55-pound aircraft. And if you want to do stuff for 30 minutes, that's a great way to certify. But, you know, what do you do in industry for 30 minutes? you know, I mean, you just came from Mobility Innovation Zone. They're trying to make cargo delivery autonomous. They're trying to do airborne stuff. It's everything that we want to do, too. And that's, to do anything serious, you have to have an aviation-grade, multi-hundred-pound system that's, you need regulation for that. You need type certificates. You need actual rules to comply with, not waivers and exemptions for based on my unique solution.
Yeah, that's one thing I was going to ask you. Like, having Alliance right there, that's got to be a good tool for you to be able to not just try out new things, but also you can work with other companies and kind of collaborate and see, okay, what's working for you and like what can we apply here? And
yeah, no, that's been a great thing. It's a godsend to have them plant the flag and say, we want to do autonomy. Because, you know, that's what we're waiting for. We're waiting for the world to catch up to the idea that remote piloted or autonomous systems have a place in industry as a workhorse tool. So when they plant that flag, it makes it that much easier to go to government and say, look, here's an innovation contract you should award for doing this thing for the military. And what we can do is take that capability and use it as a dual use application and start deploying it out at the MIS, for instance, to do basic autonomy tests, air corridor sampling for like radio frequency noise and stuff like that. Those were some of the contracts we won early on that tied in perfectly with them. That's what our roadmap is. So ask about where we're going. Where we're going is we're trying to build towards an ecosystem of companies that are working within the advanced air mobility space. Austin is really kind of been a lightning rod for software and the new Silicon Valley approach. Fort Worth is ripe for manufacturing, to becoming a major manufacturing hub for all things aviation, all things autonomy. There's a drastic supply chain issue right now. Having all critical components are coming from near-peer adversaries overseas, where we need to start onshoring that capability for rapid prototyping, which we can already kind of do, but we want to have a makerspace area out in the MIS, preferably, where other companies can come in, our partners that we work with, start building these components locally, and then source the actual mass manufacture of them to people in Texas, because they have the CHIPS Act. Texas is being very aggressive about trying to pull in the industry here, and we're very much believers in you got to build local, you got to build quick, and you got to make it cost effective. Back to the point on the DC thing, it's the aircraft themselves need to become the infrastructure. Mm. You know, that's how we think of it. If you look at the FAA Urban Air Mobility Concept of Operations paper that they put out, in it, I would say the first 90% of it is just keeping a human in that loop, keeping a human in the aircraft, flying it with chase aircraft.
Yeah.
It's like, these are all cheats. Like, no, you need to fast forward to the end. You need to define your actual critical requirements for real autonomy. And then you need to realize that this system needs to operate post-catastrophe, meaning hurricane rolls through or wildfires go through. All of your ground-based infrastructure is dead. Maybe you've got some EM stuff going on and your satellites are dead. The aircraft themselves, in the future of autonomy, they need to be the infrastructure. So which means they need to be vehicle-to-vehicle communications, reactive collision avoidance, understand friend from foe, non-compliant, humans, nature, all of it.
It's really not that complicated. You don't really need an AI, a learning machine. It's just a set of rules. Yeah. All it is a baked-in set of rules. And if someone goes out of your way to hit you, there ain't nothing you can do about it anyway, right? Bad actors will be bad actors. So the technology exists right now to go full AI or full autonomous. It's there. We're here. There's nothing else needs to be developed.
Hey, we like to keep you updated. And if you want more episodes like this, breaking news and weather alerts, follow KRLD in the Odyssey app. To follow, download the Odyssey app, search KRLD, and tap follow in the upper right-hand corner.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
The $1 billion school choice voucher bill is one step closer to Governor Abbott's desk.
The Texas Senate passed Senate Bill 2, mostly along party lines, 19-12. It would give parents $10,000 in taxpayer money to send their child to a private school.
After 8 hours of debate, the Texas Senate finally passed Senate Bill 2, with only one Republican voting against. State Senator Brandon Creighton authored the bill.
32 states offer expanded school choice. If this were truly the end of public education, nation, as some claim. Those states would be repealing those programs.
State Senator Nathan Johnson, a Democrat, voted against, but agreed with Creighton that this won't take down public schools.
It really doesn't do a whole lot of anything except take public tax dollars and transfer them to private schools for kids and parents who are already using the private schools.
Governor Abbott's confident he has the votes to pass it out of the Texas House.
The man convicted of beating and suffocating a North Texas pastor in his church during a robbery was put to death last night. 37-year-old Stephen LaWayne Nelson was pronounced dead at 6:50 p.m. in Huntsville. He was convicted of the 2011 killing of the Reverend Clint Dobson. He was beaten, strangled, and suffocated with a plastic bag inside the North Point Baptist Church in Arlington.
And that execution was the first since last year's fight over Robert Roberson. And that is a battle that's still going on.
Roberson was to have been executed in October for the 2002 murder of his daughter, but members of a Texas House committee succeeded in causing a delay. The committee feels Roberson was wrongly found guilty based on shaken baby syndrome and that the girl actually died from an acute illness. Committee issued a subpoena for Roberson to testify, something the Texas Attorney General's office refuses to allow. But since then, there are new members on the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, and Roberson's lawyers say they plan to file further appeals shortly. The execution has not been reset. From the 24-hour News Center, LP Phillips News, Radio 1080 KRLD.
Governor Greg Abbott and President Donald Trump met at the White House yesterday discussing the border and how Texas can help the administration's efforts. Governor Abbott is offering the administration 4,000 jail cells across the state to hold illegal immigrants. Abbott says since Trump won the election and has taken office, illegal crossings have dropped significantly.
A total evaporation of people crossing the border. We were going from thousands a day to dozens a day. And there's basically no sight of people trying to cross the border. But you still have the cartels.
Abbott says he and the president discussed a number of topics about the border, including his request for more than $11 billion from the federal government to reimburse Texas for its efforts to secure the border.
In other news this morning, with the death of a Springtown man, charges against an accused hit-and-run driver have now been upgraded to manslaughter.
Ronald Smith died at Harris Methodist in Fort Worth 3 days after he was run down in Springtown, where Assistant City Administrator Christina Durr says police pieced this all together after speaking to witnesses.
They learned from eyewitnesses that two adult males had gotten into a verbal that turned physical altercation.
Initially, police arrested the other driver, Aaron Turner, who is less than half Smith's age. The charge was aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, namely Turner's car, but with Smith's death, Turner is now up on a manslaughter charge. From the 24-hour News Center, Kurt Lewis, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Police in Rowlett say an 18-year-old responsible for dozens of car break-ins has been caught.
Police were able to identify the suspect as 18-year-old Ulysses Flowers and arrest him for the break-ins. This comes after a picture was released of the suspect. It all started in late December and after a brief hiatus picked up again on February 1st with 7 burglarized vehicles. In all, investigators now connect Flowers with at least 42 burglaries, all occurring within walking distance of his house. A search of his home found handbags, IDs, credit cards, and jewelry. Police say Flowers would simply break out a car's window and take any kind of property. From the 24-hour News Center, Austin, York, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
Gambling has changed so many things, and now the online betting sites are looking at the odds for the 2028 presidential election already. And Donald Trump Jr. has now odds of 25-1 of becoming the next top contender amongst the Republicans. Now a poll by McLaughlin Associates shows that Don Trump Jr. is the second most popular candidate among Republicans for the 2028 presidential nomination with 21% support. Only Trump VP J.D. Vance tops Don Jr. for that position. Is it too soon to be thinking about who is going to be on the tickets in 2028? Send us a voice message in the Odyssey app. Just tap the microphone button there on the KRLD page.
Elon Musk's plan to make government more efficient is not sitting well with some folks.
Democrats complained this week that Musk is not an elected official and is overstepping his authority. Congressman Michael Cloud says this should not be a surprise. The Texas Republican says President Trump is doing what he promised.
He said Elon Musk would be involved with it, and the American people spoke loud and clearly that this is what they want.
He says the only surprise is that we have a president who's actually following through on his promises. He supports further cuts, including the Department of Education, which is said to be on the chopping block. From the 24-Hour News Center, I'm Michael Board, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
There's a Texas lawmaker introducing legislation to keep birth control legal.
Houston Democratic Congresswoman Lizzie Fletcher says the Right to Contraception Act is actually necessary. In 1965, the Supreme Court ruled married Americans had the right to use birth control. Nearly 3 years ago, the High Court overturned Roe v. Wade.
And in that Dobbs decision in 2022, Justice Thomas said, we need to revisit that case. There are people not only in the court saying we need to revisit it, but in state legislatures.
Texas is one of seven states that allows pharmacists to refuse to fill birth control prescriptions based on their personal beliefs. And Texas is one of 24 states that restricts minors' abilities to obtain contraception without parental consent. From the 24-Hour News Center, Barbara Schwartz, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Colleyville police are looking for a suspect in a burglary case.
Police say three people broke into a couple of storage units at one of those storage rental places. They reviewed security camera video from the business last month and were able to ID the suspects as 35-year-old Ryan Leese, 36-year-old Quentin Barrow, and 55-year-old Sherry Aiken. They determined that all three were living in Colleyville and got warrants for their arrest. The North Tarrant Regional SWAT team apprehended Leese and Barrow, but police say Aiken was not home when the officers showed up at the residence, so she is still at large. From the 24-Hour News Center, Stephen Pickering, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
News Radio 1080 KRLD, the station at DFW for market and business updates. Our KRLD business analyst, David Johnson.
Morning, back to work on Wall Street today after a couple of days of gains. It looks like we open higher, well, modestly higher. The NASDAQ looks up 14. That's been one of the problems. The Dow Industrials average up 57 and the S&P up 14 points. Fair amount of economic news today. Jobless claims due out shortly. They are supposed to uptick slightly. Also, the productivity and unit labor cost numbers will come out. That's an important gauge of the economy, and we'll watch for those too. Fistful of earnings out today. Honeywell came with earnings. The revenues beat, but they're falling on a downbeat forecast. Now, the interesting thing about Honeywell is they're also getting ready to split up into three companies. Now, Honeywell is a Dow stock, so they'll probably lose that status, but you'll never guess who owns $5 billion worth of Honeywell and is moving them to split up into three companies. Elliott, the same people that prompted Southwest Airlines and Texas Instruments and others to do a lot of things. They'll split up into three separate companies and hope that it works out like GE's split worked, which has been a profound success. Eli Lilly out with numbers. The numbers were good. Their three obesity drugs are doing well, and they've got a new one, the pill, that they think is going to enter phase three trials and get the results from that pretty soon. So there's a lot of optimism there. That stock's headed higher. Costco is the third largest retailer in the world, and their same-store sales were up 7.5%, e-commerce up 13.6%, so they continue to do pretty well. We're seeing interest rates lower this time around. It's coming out of the UK, the Bank of England, cutting their interest rates by 0.25%. European markets are holding their own. Asian markets were up overnight, and our market looks higher across the board. David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
President Trump is attending the National Prayer Breakfast at the Capitol this morning.
It's always a big day, and the Mavs' newest addition is almost ready to hit the hardwood.
Anthony Davis is creeping closer and closer to his Mavericks debut, with the team upgrading the all-star to questionable on the injury report ahead of tonight's road matchup against the Boston Celtics. AD has been sidelined for the past week, dealing with an ab strain prior to the mega deal that sent Luka Doncic to the Lakers. If he's unable to go, it's increasingly likely we might see Davis's debut against the Houston Rockets this Saturday night at the American Airlines Center. From the 24-Hour News Center, I'm Tristan Ryans, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Now, there's at least one person who thinks the Mavericks came out ahead in that deal to send Luka Doncic to the Lakers. That's former Laker Shaquille O'Neal.
He's in La La Land. His jerseys went from number 6 to number 1.
You know, there's a lot of speculation of can him and Braun play with each other. The answer is yes. It's going to be interesting. However, I think Dallas got better of the trade for the next 2 years anyway.
Interesting. Shaq didn't say why, but he also confirms nobody's safe from trades. It's the business of basketball. And he wishes the Mavs would have treated Luka, though, with more respect. He even remembers his own trade from Orlando to the Lakers that he didn't even know would happen.
The Super Bowl fan experience is on at the Convention Center in New Orleans ahead of Sunday's championship game. The Chiefs are going for the first ever 3-in-a-row titles. Wow, that would be kind of fun to see. One of their fans has 2 Super Bowl replica rings.
So these are the last 2. So as a season ticket member, you can buy them. So, yeah, it's a lot funner to have them, the money here than in the bank. So,
you're expecting to add another one?
Yeah, well, on Monday, I'll be able to order my next one.
Be so even funner.
Even more fun. You can go pow, pow, pow. Like,
yeah, exactly.
One on each hand and then wherever else you want to stick it.
But again, I've got to think that most of America is rooting against the Chiefs now because of the dynasty. However, I wonder if in Dallas people are rooting for the Chiefs because of the Patrick Mahomes,
right?
East Texas,
mm-hmm,
and Texas Tech, mm-hmm, connection, plus, you know,
they're owned by a Texan,
hating the Eagles.
A lot of people think that the Chiefs are getting help from the referees. The referees have been passionately denying that. But that is the claim, that they cheat by using the referees. Of course, that's what the internet says.
The All Local is updated 3 times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.